I'm curious, do you have a really great BS detector? Maybe you're often skeptical of others. Are you really street smart? Would you say you're pretty self-assured? You often find yourself being the leader in the group. Maybe you even struggle to ask for help. Do you love a good challenge? Do you fight really hard for the causes you believe in? Do you have a great sense of humor? I bet you're a blast. You might have thought that these were all parts of your personality, but they might actually be coping mechanisms you've picked up over the course of your life, and they're having a huge impact on how you show up, especially on this motherhood journey. Are you curious to know more? You got to take my personality patterns quiz. Here's what's going on. When you were a child, whenever an experience overwhelmed your nervous system, you subconsciously built a defense against that overwhelm. Over time, those defenses became a habit, and then they became a pattern. And now as an adult, what we think of as our personality is often this defense pattern running the show. It's so interesting, right? There are 5 different personality patterns, and they're not personality types like the Enneagram or the Myers-Briggs, but rather they describe the safety strategies that we immediately go to when we start to feel overwhelmed. They don't describe who we are so much as what's blocking who we are. The good news is that once you take my quiz and learn about your pattern, you can learn skills to break out of that pattern, and then you can live and parent your kids as your true and authentic self. Click on the quiz link in the show notes or go to michellegrosser.com/quiz now to take my 2-minute personality pattern quiz. Welcome to the Calm Mom Podcast, the show for ambitious women ready to get off the hot mess express. I know you've got a lot going on. You work so hard. You're raising an incredible family. And sometimes it can be overwhelming. I'm your host, Michelle Grosser. I'm a certified master life coach, attorney, wife, and mom. And years ago, I was right where you are. I was running a busy law practice while raising a family, and I was on the fast track to burnout. I thought I just needed to be more organized or have better routines, but it was learning how to heal and regulate my nervous system that expanded my capacity to gracefully hold more of this big, beautiful life. You too are worthy of an extraordinary life in and beyond motherhood. Learning to be a calm, anchoring presence in your home and at work is going to be your superpower. If you're here to do the inner work that brings a sense of calm amidst the chaos, I'm here to join you on that journey. Each time you press play, your growth continues. So let's get at it. Hey friends, welcome to the Calm Mom Podcast. Michelle Grosser here. Today on the podcast, I'm so pumped because we are talking about mom guilt, something that a lot of us have struggled with at some point or another in our motherhood journey. And I welcome to the show Joanne Crone. She's a parenting educator. She's a life coach who helps moms feel confident in raising empowered kids while pursuing their own goals. She's a writer, author, podcast host. She has her own show called the No Guilt Mom Podcast. And she's a speaker. She's been in national media. She's founder of the company No Guilt Mom. And her specialty is helping moms form deeper and more supportive relationships with their kids and other adults while finding what lights them up in No Guilt Mom's Balance program. In this conversation, we talk about how we can help moms delegate tasks within the home and figure out what balls we need to allow to drop so that we can pursue our own desires. We talk about how to figure out the reason behind some of our kids' behavior and really come up with solutions together as a family. And then finally, we talk about letting go of the guilt that can come with parenting and sometimes pursuing our own fun and connection as women. So enjoy this conversation with Joanne. Joanne, welcome to the Calm Mom Podcast. I'm so grateful you're taking time to be with us this morning. Thanks for being here.
Thanks. I'm so excited to be here and talk all things mom guilt. And I have to say, I was doing like a deep dive into your site too, and I took your personality quiz. I took it and I got the merging pattern. Mm-hmm. And the merging pattern, like, look to others to have your needs met. And I thought it was so interesting because that's the reason I started No Guilt Mom, is because I don't want moms to look to others to have their needs met. So it's a kind of saving of myself in a way.
isn't all of this work? It's like, that's why I love hearing people's stories, because I'm like, oh, how beautiful that we like take what we're noticing about ourselves and we're like, I think I can help some people with this.
Yes, exactly. Like this was something too that I saw in my own mom, and just how much she wanted to make everybody happy and still wants to make everybody happy. And I'm the one being like, Mom, go sit down. Go like relax. Can I make you a margarita, Mom? And now she does. She's like, yes, I will have a margarita. Thank you. It's a process.
Oh, I love that. I'm like sitting here being like, I hope my kids make me margaritas when I'm like,
I think my mom really digs it. Yeah.
I love that. I also love that you said like you're excited to be here talking about mom guilt, because sometimes I think about these things that I talk about on this show and just teach on so often. And I'm like, man, I get so like I really do love talking about these things. And it also breaks my heart that they even exist. Right. It's like a weird thing to be like, I love talking about guilt. It's like, what
yes.
is going on here?
But it's also like talking about it really brings it to the forefront of everybody's mind. And I feel like if we are all knowing about it and we're more intentional with our actions, that we can really be the force to change, so that like our kids don't have to deal with this mom guilt in the same way we do. And we can alleviate some of the guilt from ourselves as well.
Yes. Okay. So before we start talking about it, I want to hear a little bit about your story and the work you're doing and kind of the catalyst for, you know, the community that you've created and your programs and stuff.
So I've mentioned a little bit about it really being inspired by my own mom. My mom did everything for us. Like she worked a full-time job and then she came home and she made dinner, made sure dinner was ready, made sure like the house was clean, really managed it all. And I just remember her going to my dad one day and being like, why can't you ever help me out? And he tells her, just tell me what needs to be done and I'll do it. And she's like, why do I need to tell you what needs to be done?
It's like
famous last words. I feel like it's such a pattern that I see today. And what I saw in my mom, like I saw her stress, I saw her overwhelmed so much to the point, like I was not excited to have children. Like when I married my husband, I was like, let's wait, let's just enjoy life. Let's go out with friends and have fun. Because my parents didn't have me until they were like in their early 30s, mid 30s. My husband's parents had him when they were in their early 20s. Wow. And so he was really like the driving force. He's like, we could do this, like we could make this work. And it wasn't until I saw the example of my husband's cousins. We went to go visit them and they had like a toddler, like a 2-year-old, a 4-year-old. And yet they were starting their own company and these kids were just happy and playing. And I'm like, you know what? That is the life I want. I want this happy family life, but I also want to pursue my own goals. And I don't want to have to give my whole life and everything to my children and be the martyr so that they could be happy. Yeah. And that was really like the catalyst for me. But when I had kids, it was a huge wake up call. Like I remember being in the closet like 2 days or 3 days before my daughter was born. And I was just like, what did I do? What did I do? My entire life is going to change. Yes. I do not have the freedom anymore that I used to have. Mm-hmm. And when she was born, I went into a postpartum depression and postpartum anxiety.
Yeah.
Just looking at her and thinking, okay, I only have to deal with 18 years of this and then I'm good. Like yeah. That was how I was getting myself through those first few weeks.
Yes. Yeah. Like counting down the hours till bedtime. And then you're like feeling guilty because you're like, I didn't become a mom so I could like count down the hours until I don't have to deal with them anymore. Yeah.
Exactly. And then like being so worried that something would happen to them at night that you couldn't even sleep. To like, when they did go to sleep, I'd be like, is she still breathing? Is she breathing? Is she okay? Like, is she going to stop breathing? And that was the anxiety piece coming in. But I was trying to breastfeed at the time. I hated it. And it was so painful. And I sought therapy. And the therapist told me, like, you know what, Joanne, your only job is to feed your child. It doesn't matter how you do that. Just feed your child. And that advice stuck with me so much. That's the day, like, I bought the cabbage leaves. I put them in the sports bra. We're like, we're doing this. I am getting off of this nighttime breastfeeding duty. And yeah, my husband is taking over bottle feeding for yep, at night. And so, like, steps along the way, it just led me to realize that we have so many pressures on ourselves as moms that we think we have to do, yeah, and that we feel guilty for not doing. We sacrifice these pieces of ourselves because we think it'll make other people happy. And I don't want women to have to feel that way. And that's when I started my company, just to get that message out there, teach women sustainable ways of doing things, as well as encourage parent-child communication. I mean, I've had many careers in my life. I worked in the entertainment industry at a talent agency as an assistant, and then as a producer at a production company in reality television. I then went and become an elementary school teacher. So I have all the child development knowledge and teaching education. And I brought all those things together, the high achieving work performance and the child development knowledge. And that is what I teach the women in the No Guilt Mom community and in our Balance program, that yes, they can be really great moms and they can have this really fulfilling adult life that's even better for their kids, because then their kids can see who they can become and they can look forward to being parents because they see everything that their mom is and is accomplishing and is making her happy. So that is No Guilt Mom.
I love it. And there's so much in that. I would love to talk a little bit about, I think you touched on it a little bit, but I think sometimes as moms, we can experience that guilt or like that icky feeling when it comes up. And I want to talk a little bit about some of the root causes of that, because I think like we can maybe grow in our awareness of it when we're feeling it, or we know that it doesn't feel really good. But I think sometimes we're a little bit blind of like, how did I get this way? Like what from society or what from seeing my own mom do, or what was different in how she did and the expectations on her that are very different from the day-to-day life I live now, but I'm still trying to do all of those things that I think make a good mom. Like I'm assuming there's some mindset stuff in it, and then also just some stuff that's put on us by other people that we might not even realize isn't ours.
Yeah, you mentioned most of it, actually. Like, first of all, our society and our cultural like ways, they've become ingrained in us, whether we realize it or not. I mean, even growing up in like the 80s and 90s, like seeing the television commercials of all of the moms doing the housework, doing the laundry, and all of like the quote unquote bumbling fathers, like sitting on the couch, making a mess. I mean, that messaging stays with us. And so that's already in our minds of what a mom should be like. The mom's the caretaker. The mom makes the pretty things. Combined with what we're seeing now on like Instagram and Facebook of these picture perfect houses and like how to declutter and how to make your house pretty, like with the home edit women who I find like amazing and funny and fascinating and I love it. And at the same time, it's like, is this the ideal I'm supposed to be aspiring to have these
immaculate
environments?
Look like that.
It will not be color-coded by snacks. Oh my gosh. When I saw that episode, I'm like, wait a minute, you didn't have any green snacks. So you had to put some more green snacks in there to like rip them. I'm like, this doesn't make sense. I can't do it.
Oh my gosh. And then not only will I feel the guilt that it doesn't look like that, but then as I'm trying so hard, I'll feel the guilt that all I have in there is like mac and cheese and goldfish.
Well, that would be a blue one and that would be an orange one. So it would complete the color coding thing.
It's not organic, not necessarily healthy. Oh my goodness. Yes.
No, they have a lot of great messages in that show too. Like how they have it. You know, outside passions as well. Like, and their husbands are really taking care of the home environment too. Yes. But you see those images of these immaculate home environments and you're like, oh, maybe that's what I'm supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
And then you see little snapshots of people's lives when their kids are really well behaved and not in the mood and feeling judged if yours is like face down on the floor of Target screaming. And you're like, what am I doing wrong here? What can I like, why is this happening to me?
Yeah.
And we don't have very much education, especially in child development, about how to work with kids and how to have kids who are self-motivated and how to really ask questions of kids and notice kids' behavior so that we can really get to the root problem of the behavior. Yeah. We could teach them what needs to be taught instead of punishing them and thinking that that'll solve it, because that never does. And there's really nothing out there like that, because it's a longer process than what we were raised with.
Yes.
Like, we were raised with, oh, you're grounded for 2 weeks. We know about like our own thing. Like, that doesn't work. It just creates sneaky kids. That's right. Who will not get caught. So that as well contributes to the guilt, thinking that there should be one like snap thing that you could do and you're just not doing it. And that's why things aren't working out for you.
Yes. Yes. So much in there. And I kind of love how you were ending that around just understanding our kids better and what motivates them and how we can come around that. And I would love for you to speak to this, because I think a lot of women, at least that I encounter, it's work that I do with them. Give permission to the women listening to release their children's behavior as it relates to whether they are good moms. Like, I would love for you to just talk on the tie between those two or the
correlation. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Yes, you have no control over your kids' behavior. Nobody has any control over their kids' behavior. Like, I just actually did a little video yesterday for Instagram about like how to guarantee your kids will behave when you leave the room. And the next scene is me taking out the tape and I'm like, get really strong tape. And it's a joke. and I explain it in there because you don't have any control. Like, kids act how they want to act. They are driven by their own needs. And the only thing that we as parents can do is we are the model. Mm-hmm. I say a lot in No Guilt Mom, like, we want to take you from martyr to model, because we've been taught we have to be there all the time for our kids. We have to sacrifice for our kids. And that's not essentially true. Yeah. What we need to do is we need to show our kids what adult life looks like and what it looks like to be a fully functioning human being and person. And we have to live the things that we want them to do as well.
Yeah.
And caveat there, even if you're living the things, kids will still behave exactly how they want to behave. Like, you're more there as the guide. You're there as like a consultant and being like, so when you threw that across the room, like, what was going on there? And trying to figure out, okay, is this anger? Is this just a way, like, your child just needs to learn some ways to deal with anger that are a little more productive rather than destructive? Yeah. Is it self-talk within the child that's causing this anger? Like, they just have this such feeling of shame, and that's why their emotions go from 0 to 60 in 1 second. And when we approach parenting that way as kind of a detective and a consultant, not only does it become more effective, but it becomes a lot more fun.
Yeah.
So I would say, like, no, like, you do not have control over your kids' behavior ever, ever, regardless of what your mother-in-law says, regardless of what that mom in the PTA says, who like thinks she has perfect children, but she really does not. There's no control over kids. Kids who are high achieving, there's no control over them either. Like, you have nothing to do with that other than just showing up on a daily basis, being a supportive and loving caregiver, and being the consultant when they need you.
Yes. Yes. And amen to all of that. And I just love that permission to release it too, because I think so often we see like the temper tantrum, or we see whatever, a grade on a test and something, and right away it's like a punch to the, or gut punch, right? It's like, oh, then I mustn't be the right mom or a good mom. And it's like, no, release that.
Yeah. And it's also the thought process too. Mm-hmm. Like, I know that you're a certified master life coach, as am I. And, you know, we know this connection between the action that happens and then the thoughts that we attach to it right away. So like, if a kid's like having a temper tantrum and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm a bad mom, that then creates those feelings of guilt, which then make you feel like just horrible and tired and like shameful. Whereas if your kid's having a temper tantrum and you approach it as like a detective and trying to figure out what's going on there, your thought is then, I wonder if they're hungry, or I wonder if they're tired, or I wonder what they must be thinking. And then that causes feelings of curiosity rather than shame. And curiosity is such a more productive emotion. And it's such like a more energizing emotion than if we're just really hard on ourselves.
So good. We say that on the podcast here a lot, just curiosity over judgment. And it's just that constant reminder, like we can choose. It's beautiful. Okay. So let's talk about the guilt, because I think a lot of times we might even have an awareness of it, but then when we have it, we don't know what to do with it. And I was actually in a coaching call this morning, and my client was like, man, like I feel so guilty when I work around my son. And then I feel so guilty when I'm not working around my son. And I just feel like I can't win, right? And I'm like stuck in this constant loop. And I'm like, I feel that. And you're not alone in that. So I would love for you to talk to those women listening who are like, yeah, the mom guilt thing, like I get it. I feel it all the time, but it feels like I can't win. Like no matter what I do, I feel that kind of feeling. Where do I start?
Yeah. Well, with those feelings, first of all, know that they are like happening to all of us. Like yes. We are all in this together. Yes. And so when you have your community of people around you who will acknowledge those feelings of guilt and being like, yeah, I get that too. Totally. I mean, I can tell you though, when I started my business, I started it when my son was one. And to be completely honest, like it wasn't one of those stories that I hear from some other female entrepreneurs where they wake up at 3 a.m. and they get all their work done and then they spend all day with their kids. It wasn't like that for me. It was, I'm going to put on some Dora the Explorer and some Peppa Pig and have my laptop here. And I'm going to be working here on the couch while just keeping an eye on him. Yeah. And he's going to watch Peppa Pig. And he watched so much Peppa Pig that he started referring to things by their English names. So like we would go into Target and he'd be like, look, mommy, let's get a shopping trolley. or where's our swimming costumes? I was like, oh my gosh. And I feel guilty? Not at that time. No, because I was pursuing something that I felt was bigger and more important for him to see me pursuing than this guilt of me like just being available to him all the time. Yeah. In that moment, that's what I felt. And I also had friends whose kids were watching just as much Peppa Pig and they would talk to each other about their swimming costumes. And so that made me feel a lot better. So having that community of people around you who have the same and similar goals, who can normalize what you're going through, that is really the key. That's what like I seek to do in my community. I know that's what you seek to do in the Calm Mom community. And when women are supporting each other like that, it's a magical thing that happens. So I would say like find your people. That's the number one way to get rid of the guilt.
Oh, that's so good. It's so important, right? We need community. And it's part of why I think when I've experienced a lot of mom guilt, it's because I just care. Like I care so much, right?
Yeah.
But having other women to remind me like you're feeling bad about this or whatever it is, like whether it's valid or not, because you just really care. I.e. you're also a really good mom, because you care.
Yeah. And I think like also a perspective helps as well. Because I was a teacher in Title I schools. I was a fifth grade teacher. I saw the kids who were neglected, who came home from like homes where they were just trying to make ends meet. And so it was a single parent and mom couldn't be there for her kids. So they were putting themselves to bed at 10 years old and they were responsible for their own routines. And some would come to school just in really dirty clothing. And like you could smell like the smell. And then others, like there were stories about them. I live in Arizona. So one of my students had a story about, you know, he was crawling through a tunnel and it was really dark with his family. And hearing those stories and seeing what other people are going through put a perspective on my own parenting that I was like, okay, even though I may not be the best Instagram mom, or maybe I'm not fitting into the society ideal, knowing that perspective that you are there for your kids, yes. You are working the best you can for them. And the circumstances that your kids are in are, I wouldn't say like better, like everyone has their own unique challenges, But they're different and nobody's perfect and nobody has this perfect put together life. Mm-hmm. And so when you think about it in terms of there's no sense of perfection, like the ideal exists because it's an ideal and nobody has ever achieved it.
Right.
It just makes you feel a lot more grounded in what you're doing every day, knowing that you're making gains. You are there for your kids. You are loving your kids.
Yeah.
You are working towards important things for yourself. So you're showing your kids. That's also another great way to tackle guilt, is just to think and change your perspective a little bit.
Yeah.
There's this great book. It's a business book, but it really applies to life. It's called The Gap Versus the Gain by Dr. Benjamin Hardy. Have you heard of it?
No.
No, it's so great. I teach this concept in our balance program too. It's basically thinking that in like our world, we've been taught to measure ourselves against this ideal. And we start at zero and we're like, okay, like say our ideal is like, I just want to be a really great mom to my kids, which is a hard ideal to reach because it's not specific really. Yeah. But I just want to be the best mom to my kids. And so you do all these things. You like make sure like you're cuddling them at night. You're giving them lots of love. You're holding expectations for what you know they can do and like kind of forcing them out of their comfort zone. You're doing all these great, great, great things. You're not yet at the ideal. And so where you're measuring yourself is you're measuring yourself from where you are versus the ideal. And that's called the gap.
Right.
And when we're in the gap, we're thinking about all the things that we're not.
Yeah.
We're self-criticizing. And that kind of gap thinking is an energy sucker. Yeah. It will take all of our drive away.
Yeah.
Instead, if we look to see how far we've come from zero and start noticing all of those accomplishments, like, hey, I'm the mom who I'm reading a story. I read a story to my kids tonight, or like I was there cheering them on. I made the last 5 minutes of the game. That's amazing. When you're in the game, that's where all the energy and all the happiness arises. And when you have energy, that like goes to your kids as well. And it affects all the people around you. So noticing the gains you make versus your gap, that's another way that you can use to conquer the guilt.
Oh, I love that so much. It's like such a narrowing of your perspective of what's actually important, right? And like you deciding where you're going to focus that energy is so awesome. I wonder too, if you could talk a little bit about how much our pace and our schedules and the things we expect ourselves to be able to do in 24 hours and still remain sane have an impact on our levels of guilt, right? Because we're always doing, it's the checklist. It's like we have 37 planners collecting dust everywhere.
Yeah.
So talk to me about how that factors in with guilt and how we can, you know, reframe all of that to be living in a way that's realistic, really.
Yeah. So I am so against like the productivity mindset. I mean, I think we were all raised, I mean, you got a law degree. You're obviously a high achiever. I could tell that about you. Like, I mean, you doing all the things. I've written 2 books, high achiever, like, and probably you listening to this podcast right now, high achiever. You want to get the things done. You want the gold stars. It makes you feel really good. I love it. I love the gold stars, all of them. all of them. And so you're looking out to see what everyone else is doing. And you're like, I need to do this. 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 And it never really works out. My way to kind of go around this is you really need to be focused on what's important to you at this time. And it needs to be something that is so exciting to you that every other decision of what you take on is so easy because you're like, well, that won't help this. So I'm not going to do it right now. For instance, like my goals in the past have been like, you know, I'm going to write a book, and that's been my professional goal. And so every decision that came up, I was like, well, this is going to prevent me from getting this next chapter done. I need to say no. Or staying up late watching like TV, I won't be able to wake up tomorrow to work on this. So I need to go to bed right now. Yeah. And that was because the book excited me so, so much. And I made a commitment to it. I announced it. I like told everyone else around it. And with my personality, like I do not follow through, you know, I will do what I say I'm going to do.
Yes.
And so when you have those big priorities, you can easily say no. And so this goes back with productivity. Doing all these little reactive things, it's not going to get you anywhere. Not anywhere at all. And when you step back from your life and you realize all of the stuff that you are doing that isn't contributing to it, like I talk about my Christmas breakdown in 2019, where I had was doing all of the things to get ready for the holidays. I had picked out all the kids' presents. I had wrapped them. I had RSVP'd to all the holiday parties. I had planned our family dinners. My husband had like so much stuff going on at work that he didn't come in and do anything that Christmas. And in addition to that, like my daughter's birthday is December 16th. My birthday is December 4th. Like December is just horrific. And like if I did it all alone. And the day after Christmas, I was just sobbing on the couch, like sobbing, because there was no joy in that entire month for me. I just felt like this relentless push to get everything done. And I also had this resentment against my husband for not having to have the same pressure I did to get all these things done. And that's the point where I'm like, okay, like something has got to change. And it was funny because my mother-in-law gave me Eve Rodsky's book, Fair Play, for that Christmas.
Yeah.
And that was the book I was reading on the couch that caused all of the crying and the sobbing, because I'm like, oh my gosh, like it doesn't need to be this way. Right. Like just because my husband is bringing in more money than me currently, it doesn't mean his time is more valuable, because I wasn't even asking him to help. I wasn't even like telling him like, hey, this is what I see that needs to be done, you know, beforehand. And we sat down as a family. We wrote down everything that was going on in the house, like everything. And he then took on the work from that. Like he had jobs that were specified as just his, and I have jobs that are specified as just mine, are so important, because before the boundaries were unclear.
Yes.
And so if I saw something that needs to be done, I did it. Mm-hmm. Now, when I see something of his that needs to be done, I don't do it. I don't do it to the point that he now has natural consequences to deal with when it doesn't get done, which I think is the key. Yes. So for example, the garbage is his job. And when the garbage, we have like an under the counter garbage can. So when it fills up, we just start stacking it on the counter, because I will not take out that trash. Like it is his job to take out the trash. Mm-hmm. We have a naughty dog. She's a 75-pound staffy. And she likes to counter surf, which is, you know, jumping on the counters and finding what's on it. So the night before, we had DoorDashed, and there was a bag of like a taco that my son didn't eat. And I came into the living room and there was trash everywhere on the living room floor, torn up in the corner, like everywhere. And because I knew this was my husband's job, I didn't get mad. I didn't feel resentful. It wasn't an I told you so. I was like, well, sucks for him. And I turned around and then I'm like, hey, so Addie, she got into the trash and I'm going to go take a walk. And when I came back, it was all cleaned up, because it's his job.
Yeah.
So that's like how important it is when, if we're trying to get all these things done, we are not letting go and we are not like assigning jobs to the other people in our house, or other people aren't even taking responsibility for these things. Mm-hmm. And when we let them take responsibility and let them take the natural consequences of that responsibility, things start to change.
Yes.
And so I would say with productivity, like that's really the secret, is to make sure that in your house, there are clearly defined roles and responsibilities, and that you let them go when they happen.
I love all of that so much. And I want to hear more also about So you walk into this room and there's garbage everywhere.
Yeah.
And you said you didn't feel angry and you didn't feel resentful and you didn't feel all these things. You walked out. And I want to know, like, were you always that way, or was that a journey to get there? Because I know there's women listening that are like, I would love to let my husband suffer the natural consequences, but like, I have to deal with it. And then I have to smell the garbage and then my anxiety or my anger or whatever. And I think your point is true. Like, we can only control ourselves. And if we're going to release some of this stuff, we have to get to a place where we can actually release it.
So I mean,
talk to us.
So there was a smidgen of like a second where I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm going to have to clean this up. And like, cause I mean, that's my thought process. It's habitual.
Yeah.
And it was through teaching about this and talking about this all the time and working with women on this in their own lives too. And then I also teach journaling, where we do like this self-compassion thing. And so doing my self-compassion practice regularly, my mind was able to take over in that second and turn it from, wait a minute, you don't have to be mad here. In fact, being mad is a symbol that something needs to change.
Yeah.
And so with my anger, when it comes up, I'm like, okay, so what needs to change in this situation? And I have to say, for you listening, like, that doesn't happen right away. This is a result of like a lot of like thought processing and practice and self-compassion that I was able to do this quickly. Beautiful. And I was like, okay, is this my job? No. Like, why did this trash get here? Because my husband didn't take out the trash. And I'm like, that's not for me to clean up. Yeah. That's for him to clean up.
Yes.
And so that's what I did. And that's also why I had to leave the house, because I knew if it wasn't happening right away, I would be like, it still needs to go there. It still needs to go there. But since he was the other adult in the house at that point, I mean, I knew the kids were taken care of if I left. So I left.
Yes. I love it. And it like, I'm hearing this as it relates to our husbands or partners. And so much of it relates to our kids too, right? Like releasing so many things that we do in over-functioning and things that we think we're doing in showing our love or that's best for them, and really asking ourselves, right? Like, how much of this can I release, or is it actually better for them to learn to do this on their own and suffer their own consequences? And
right? Well, I also think about like the impact on my kids and what they see. Like if I had to clean that up, it's not something I would do happily. It's something I would do resentfully. And I'd probably be stomping around the whole kitchen. And then I would be passive aggressive, mad to my husband. And he would have no idea what's going on because he didn't see the mess, because I cleaned it up before he saw it. Like, and so I think down those chain of events and I'm like, do I want to either ruin this relationship I have with my husband and cause this mood in my house? Yeah. Or do I just want to set my boundary, let him take care of it, and then go for a walk to cool down? And at that point, the choice became easy for me.
Yeah. Okay. So I kind of want to end it here because it's something I've been thinking about as we've been talking. Are there types of guilt in this work that you do that you see come across that are actually beneficial or helpful or spur us on to something where we can kind of have this differentiation, like, okay, I'm feeling this. Is this pushing me towards something better, or is this like pointless guilt that I need Joanne's help to deal with?
That's a good question. So I don't think any guilt is really pointless. I think that guilt is really giving you some indication of either where you have some anger and things need to change, or maybe like where you have a thought process that's holding you back. Like, I really think guilt is a key to figuring out how to, you know, next level yourself, how to change as a person. And so like when you're looking at good guilt could be something like, I mean, I had good guilt when I was looking at pictures of myself when my daughter was one, and I was just so unhappy with the way I looked. Mm-hmm. And I remember my mom going through the same thing and seeing with her like how unhappy she was with the way she looked. And I know that goes down generations. And at that moment with that guilt, that was the time I'm like, you know what? I don't ever want my daughter to see this in me. I'm going to get a handle on this right now. And I went to therapy and I started like eating better and more nutritiously and working out so that I had like the strength back in my body. And so in that terms, like guilt did spur me to action.
Yes.
In that moment.
Yeah.
So it's always about the introspection and to figure out what is exactly going on here. Cause it's not one of those things where you can just be like, you know, I'm guilty. Ignore that. Like, that never works. There's always something else going on that we need to pay attention to. And I say, like, the best mom is a happy mom. Yeah. And so if you're not happy right now, there are reasons for that. And when you figure out those reasons and you're able to make changes in your life, that's powerful right there.
Yes. Yes. So wise. I love that. I completely agree. So much communication going on. We get, again, curious, right? Like, all comes.
Yes. It's all about the curiosity.
Yes. Okay. I want to hear about your books. I want to hear about your programs. I want you to tell everyone where they can find you and connect with you. Give it to us.
Yeah. So our big program in No Guilt Mom is our balance program, where I take you through the steps of taking that guilt out of your life and making sure that you are pursuing something that you're passionate about, that lights you up, while being a great mom, while having great communication with your kids, your partner, everyone. That's our balance program. And we have phases in it. And there's a prize at the end. Like, so I'm a competitive person with a gold star, you know? And so when women complete our balance program, they get something called a Lotus Award, which is a really gorgeous necklace. And it just, like, it shows that you have put in the work, you have the tools for communication and for self-compassion and for setting those boundaries. And you have a really big goal and a big life mission that you're going for. And so that is balance. And the way to get more connected with me is you can go get our Stop Doing checklist, which we talk about a lot of the things we talked about today, those things that you can give yourself permission not to do. And that's at noguiltmom.com/stop-doing. You can get it there. And just come there to connect with me. When you get the Stop Doing checklist, you also get emails from me with our Monday newsletter, where I give you, like, little quick things that you can use in your parenting. Like, things like, we don't have much time, I know. So I want to give you a good nugget that you can put to use right away, that you're going to find success with and just feel very confident all Monday long, and hopefully through the last of the week. Yeah. So that's No Guilt Mom. Come and see me.
Yes, I love it. Thank you. Thank you for being here. And thank you for this work that you're doing and just leading in this space. I think it's so powerful. And this is, like, this is the real work. This is work that has generational impact. So it's so beautiful that you're empowering women, powerful women, helping them find their way through this guilt to show up how their families, communities, and everyone needs them and how they deserve to show up. So grateful for you.
Thank you. And I love your work as well. And I'm so excited to have you on the No Guilt Mom podcast too, because we get to, like, go and flip to each other's shows and talk more there. So if you're listening right now, make sure to come and listen to Michelle on the No Guilt Mom podcast.
Yes, for sure. I'm going to link all of that. I'm going to link the books that she referred to today, her books, and then also The Gap Versus the Game. And I'm going to link Fair Play too, because I talk about that as often as I can.
I love it,
right here on my bookshelf. I always use it.
She's been on our podcast twice. She's the most amazing person, the most amazing.
I love that. Amazing. Maybe we'll have to reach out to her too. Well, thanks. Just thanks for being here. This blessed all of us. So appreciate you.
Thank you. You too.
If you love Mommy's Polygraph, leave a review.
If you enjoyed this episode, it would be so awesome if you could take a moment to subscribe and rate the podcast. And if you have just a few more seconds to leave a quick review, they really help to get this podcast out to other moms like you. I read every last review, and trust me, when it's late at night or early in the morning before my kids get up and I'm working on bringing you all of this content, your reviews are what keep me going. Leaving a review is truly the best way you can thank me. And of course, DM me on Instagram. I love to hear from you. Thanks for listening to another episode. Head over to the show notes for this episode and all past episodes at michellegrosser.com, where you'll find free resources and more ways to connect with me. If you love the show, share it with a friend. Thanks again for tuning in. We'll see you next time.
Bye.